Leviticus 25, verse number 10 says, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." Hello, this is Pastor Wynn Greer from the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina, just outside of Boone, North Carolina. And we want to welcome you to the broadcast today. The Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast is what you're listening to. And this is brought to you by the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. I want to take just a moment and tell you a little bit about the church, invite you to come be with us if you are in the listening area or you do not have a church home. Maybe you're looking, maybe you've moved here. We'd love for you to come out to Mount Lebanon. And we are located 1 mile up Baird's Creek Road, just above the Willow Creek Golf Course. That is on Highway 105 South. You're just about 2 miles out of the Boone city limits on Highway 105 South going towards Fosco, and then you'll come to Baird's Creek Road on the right. We are 1 mile up Baird's Creek Road. We have Sunday school for all ages at 10 a.m. Then every Sunday morning at 11 a.m., our Sunday morning worship service every Wednesday night at 7. We have a lot of things coming up. We have Vacation Bible School. We're looking forward to that. We'll tell you a little bit more about that later on, but we always have a lot of visitors from our community, and young people come to Vacation Bible School. So we're looking forward to this summer and a lot of different things going on. But I want to say it's good to be here. I hope everybody had a good Memorial Day weekend. I know you had a big weekend, Memorial Day. I went on a run yesterday for charity, wasn't it?
Yes.
Had a good time.
Color run we had at the park here in Boone, and it was real fun. And we do want to say welcome to all those listening in right here on AM 1450 WATA out of Boone, North Carolina. Those listening in on AM 690 WZAP out of Bristol, Virginia. And our listeners on KPGT The Truth 89.1 FM out of Watertown, South Dakota.
We do appreciate all of our listeners. And what we want to begin to look at today, I actually began to think about yesterday on Memorial Day. And I went to the Memorial Day ceremony at the Boone Mall. And I want to say to all those that were involved with that, what a good program that they put on. I've been there, I think this is the 7th year. I think that's what one of the gentlemen said yesterday, that this is the 7th year that they have done this. And then they also put something on in the fall for Veterans Day. But I encourage you to go out next time. It's always very patriotic. It's always very respectful, honorable for our country, and I would say soul stirring. And I just really enjoyed it. It was a good program, and it is good for us as a people to remember. And I know, and I've said this before, a lot of people get Memorial Day, Veterans Day, they mix them all together. Memorial Day is for those that have died in the service of our country. Veterans Day is to honor and remember our veterans, and we sort of mix them together, and that's all right. There's nothing wrong with that, but it is good for us to remember what has been done in the past. It's good for us to reflect and think about it, pause, stop, and just think about, how did we get here as a nation? What's the big deal? Why have a Memorial Day? Why have a Veterans Day? Why have an Independence Day? Why have a Flag Day? Why have a Constitution Day? All of these are recognized holidays on our federal calendar. And why do we have these things? As I was sitting there yesterday, and I cannot help but look around. And I know that in the mall, it's a public place, and not everybody that comes to the mall at 11 a.m. on a Monday morning. I know not everybody came to, maybe there's several people in there didn't even know that was going on. And so I realize that, and you try to take all those things into consideration. But so there's a lot of activity and people walking around the perimeter, around the outside of what's going on with the ceremony. But as I was sitting there and trying to pay attention and looking around different people as World War II veterans, Korean veterans, Vietnam veterans, families, a lot of different people, mothers, a lot of different groups represented there. And I just looked around and thought about all the different people that were gathered there for one thing. And out of those people, there's a lot of different faiths. There's a lot of different people that have different beliefs, people from different denominations, people that are different politically. You know, there's Democrats, there's Republicans, there's independents, there's Tea Party, all these. And there's a lot of people from different places, you know, different places in our country and things like that. And so I looked around, you could see all the different people there. And I know a lot of people in town, so I know there's different faiths and people, and people move from different places and things. Yet we could all come together and say the Pledge of Allegiance and have a prayer and honor and respect our flag and our country and one another and remember those that have given the ultimate sacrifice. But I also noticed there's always somebody, or a lot of times different people, that they seem to not care about what's going on. I know while they were posting the colors, now this is a very solemn time. They're going to take out the American flag, put it out there before the ceremony, and you ought to be quiet, you ought to be respectful. People remove their hats, veterans saluting, and here comes a woman talking on the phone. I mean, everybody in there could hear her and what she was talking about. She was just oblivious, seemingly, to what was going on, or didn't care one. And almost walked right onto the middle of the floor where they were posting the colors, putting out the American flag. And before she stepped through the crowd, I don't know if somebody sort of looked at her or what, but she turned around, went the other way, kept right on talking on her phone, you know, stuff like that. While the national anthem was being played, I noticed a young person texting on the phone. Wasn't paying a bit of attention to what was going on. And then while the invocation, the prayer was being given, people's cell phones going off, and you know everybody's got a crazy ringtone, there's some loud something. So things like that get me to thinking about our country, thinking about what it means. Do we really appreciate? Do we stop? Do we reflect? Are we teaching our young people why these things are important? Now, there's a lot of older people there, but there wasn't a lot of younger people there. I do want to say our junior ROTC did a wonderful job posting the colors. They got a new group out of Watauga High School, and I appreciate what they're doing over there. Good to see those young people. But as we think about these things, I was thinking about our country, and I got to thinking about what makes a person an American. And I actually begin to study about that. I did a research, or a Google search, what makes a person an American. And I got to reading and studying about some different things. It led me to a subject I've never looked at really before. I've never thought about in the way of just using this word. But in the old dictionary, the Webster's 1828 dictionary, I come across this word, Americanism. And I don't know of a modern use for that word as far as in a sentence, or I don't think I've ever heard anybody use it in a speech or written in an article, but I looked up that word. It's interesting, Americanism. And old Noah Webster, he said that Americanism, this is a dictionary that was published in 1828. Americanism is the love which American citizens have to their own country, or the preference of its interests. And so I got to thinking about that. Americanism, the love which American citizens have to their own country. And as I looked around yesterday, the great majority of the people gathered there, and I'm going to guess there's probably 200 or 300 people gathered there, maybe a little more. But the majority of those people were expressing a love for their country and its interests. And those that had died in for America, for our freedoms, for what we stand in. So I got to thinking about that. I want to just say a little bit about that today, Americanism. And first of all, I want to say, though, that to have a love of country is both biblical by example and by instruction. And all through the Bible, we find examples of national loyalty and love of country. A lot of examples we could think about today when we look to the Bible, and that should be our guide. That is what has been our guide down through the years historically in America. All of our original laws were based on the laws of nature. And what they were talking about when they were talking about the laws of nature and of nature's God, they were talking about the Ten Commandments. They were talking about not doing any harm to another person, but our laws in this country were based upon the Bible. And all through the Bible, we find examples of loyalty and love of country. And I know when I was in the Air Force, I lived in the country of England for 3 years. And over there, when they have a coronation of the king or the queen, you know, or they have a big assembly, and even their national anthem has the phrase "God save the king," or sometimes they'll cry out, you know, "God save the queen," the queen. And when you hear that, you think about Britain or England, but actually that phrase, they've gotten that from the Bible. That comes from the Bible. And Israel's first king was Saul. And in 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 24, the Bible said, "And Samuel said to all the people, See you whom the Lord hath chosen, that there is none like him among all the people. And all the people shouted and said, God save the king." And so that loyalty, once upon a time, Britain, and even today, I've heard David Cameron talk about that Britain has a history based upon Christianity. And I heard a speech a while back that he made about that. It's a very good speech, by the way. But anyway, where did they get that? The influence of the Bible, God save the king. And that is found several other places in the Old Testament for different kings. They said that about Solomon, God save the king. So it became sort of a national motto or a national anthem, even before Britain, for the nation of Israel, when they would have a new king. I can find several places in the Bible where it talks about love of country. I was reading this morning in Psalms 102, and it's talking about Zion, the land of Israel, the nation of Israel, Zion. They're talking about Zion and how that God would have mercy upon Zion. And in Psalms 102, verse 14, the Bible says, "For thy servants take pleasure in her stones and favor the dust thereof." And I thought how interesting that is. Now, it's not talking about the tabernacle. It's not talking about the king's palace. It's not talking about the forest of Lebanon or the river Jordan or something like that. But here in the Bible, it said, "Thy servants take pleasure in her stones and favor the dust thereof." They love the rocks and the dirt. That's what they were talking about. Talking about the love of Zion. How that they took pleasure in her stones. So there was a preference there for home, for country, for Zion, even the stones and the dirt. And I read recently the letters of Jonathan Netanyahu, and that's Benjamin Netanyahu's brother. And he was killed in, I believe it's 1974 or 1976. I did a radio broadcast about the airlift from Entebbe Airport, and Benjamin Netanyahu's brother was killed during that. But his letters, there's a book that has all of his letters that he wrote to his family. And one of the things that struck me about those letters is how he talked about everywhere that he went in the country of Israel, what a beautiful place, how he loved the country, how there was so much hidden beauty. And he was just drawn. He had been to America, but he couldn't wait to get back. And I thought about that again when I read Psalms 102 and verse number 14, "For thy servants take pleasure in her stones and favor the dust thereof." And other places, many other places in the Bible, we can find what we would call patriotic people, people who love their country. I think about the prophet Jonah. I preached a message about Jonah a few Sundays ago. And Jonah, although he disobeyed the Lord and he ran from God and didn't want to go to Nineveh, I believe one of the main reasons why he didn't want to go to Nineveh is because he knew what the Word of God said, that the Ninevites would one day rise up and destroy Israel. And so you look at Jonah from a patriotic standpoint, he loved his country. And he didn't want to go preach to them Ninevites. He didn't want them to experience the mercy of God. Now, that's not right, but that's what Jonah did anyway. But Jonah's very patriotic. Nehemiah, that built the walls round about Jerusalem, Nehemiah is a very patriotic individual. And although he was a captive and he'd been raised in Babylon, when he heard about the walls being broken down around Jerusalem, the Bible says in Nehemiah chapter 1 that he sat down and he mourned and he wept. And it bothered him, his homeland that he had never been to before. He had a love for his nation. He had a love for his country. And there's Mordecai. If you read in the book of Esther, you read about Mordecai. And I've preached a message before on Mordecai the patriot. And boy, Mordecai loved his country and he had the best interest of his people at heart. And then there's others as Elijah and Jeremiah and Isaiah and on and on and on. We could go through the Bible talking about those that had a great love for their country. Now, I realize that has to do with the Jewish people and Jerusalem and the Promised Land and all that. But when I study American history, the first group of people that we come to are called the Pilgrims. Now, the reason they're called the Pilgrims is because they believe that God Himself led them here, just like God had led Moses and the children of Israel from slavery in Egypt to freedom in Canaan land or the Promised Land. I've got a book at home of Plymouth Plantation, and it was written by Governor Bradford, and it's a very, very interesting book. It talks about them fleeing England, going to Holland. Well, when they went to Holland, they weren't satisfied over there. They weren't satisfied with the people, and they couldn't have a freedom of religion. And they talk in that book about they compare themselves to Hebrews chapter number 11, that they were a people that looked for a city whose builder and foundation is God. They confess that they were strangers and pilgrims upon the earth. That comes directly from Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 13, strangers and pilgrims. And so they classified themselves as pilgrims. They wanted to be led by God. And they believe that God led them to America and helped and was providential over all of their travels and what happened to them. And the first thing they did upon arriving in America was they made a Mayflower compact. In ye name of God, amen. First time that men ever come up with a government just to govern themselves. And they started out by dedicating that to the Lord and saying it was for the advancement of the gospel throughout the nations. And so they came here as pilgrims. And all through our, and the first thing they did was that they praised and thanked God. And of course, most people know that's where we get our national holiday of Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is a distinctly Christian holiday. We have Thanksgiving because of the Pilgrims. And of course, most of you are familiar maybe with that story. But all through our history, this is what's interesting to me, all through our history, and we realize there's many, many today that want to tear down, change, forget about our history. Our history is very, very important. You know, there's a lot of people that, the history, our Judeo-Christian history is our foundation. The Bible said, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And yet there's many people in our nation today, they come in just like going into a house and they say, oh, I like the house. I love the house. I want to live in the house. I want to enjoy the house, but I don't like the foundation and I want to tear it all out. but you tear out the foundation and the whole house will fall. A good friend of mine preached a message one time and he used the Pledge of Allegiance. He said, "I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all." And the whole premise for his message was, if you remove the "under God," we are divisible. There is no liberty. There is no justice for all. The one thing that holds us together as a nation is that "under God" part. Or as we look on our money or our national motto, "In God We Trust." And if we do away with that, we've tore out the foundation. If you tear out the foundation, the whole thing is going to fall. And I'm afraid in our country we're guilty of allowing the foundation to be torn out from under us. But all through our history, from presidents to generals to soldiers to colleges, universities, schools, churches, government councils and city councils meeting together, all through our history, from the top to the bottom, you find praise being given to the Lord, thanksgiving being given to Him, prayers by our leaders for guidance, for provision, for protection, for preservation. And right along those lines, you also have an intense love for America. You have Americanism. And I believe that Americanism is a fruit born from the influence of our Judeo-Christian heritage. Where did that come from? It comes from our foundation of looking to the Lord, looking to the Bible, realizing that church and the things of God are important, and that God has blessed us and put us here for a reason. You will not find a more patriotic group in America than those who claim to be Bible-believing Christians, and many churches that claim to believe the Bible. Now, when you get into the ultra-liberal, you find that patriotism, it goes way down on the scale. But those that claim to love the Lord, believe the Bible, you'll find right that what goes right along with that is a love for country, a prayer for leaders, a concern for the direction of our country. And it bothers me to see our nation so divided. There's a new, craze. No, you might have to help me out here. The flag stomping, when posting this stuff on social media. I don't know, but I've seen several articles, and they say that's, well, new craze. I don't know if it's people trying to get put on the internet or what, but they stomp on the flag. And then in the 60s and 70s and even up later than that, since then, we've had flag burning, and now we have flag stomping and all of these things. And it's just very disturbing. I remember the first time that it really dawned on me that not everyone loves America. I was in the Air Force. We were in England. Some friends of ours, we had the day off because it was July 4th. And I remember we were walking down the street. And, you know, if you go to another country, you can pick Americans out a mile away. And they'd even taught us and trained us not to be conspicuous, because that was still during the days of the IRA in England, and they'd be terrorist bombings. And they said, you know, if you go to London, you go out in town, don't wear your cowboy hat and your cowboy boots and your ball caps, and keep your mouth shut and stay out of trouble, because not everybody, it never dawned on me that not everybody loved America. And we were just walking down the street and minding our own business, and this British guy, he stopped us, and he was mean to us. He gave us down the road and said, "I guess you're out celebrating your little holiday." And about half of what he said, we didn't understand. But, man, I thought we were friends. I thought we were allies. But evidently this guy, he didn't think as much of America as we did. And America has many, many enemies. We have to realize that. Now, as long as they're over there, you know, we can handle that. ISIS, You hear and see things all the time. The Islamic State, they hate us. They hate our way of life. They hate our flag. They hate our government. They hate our people. They hate us. They'd love to see America destroyed, and they've made no bones about it. Or communism in North Korea, many times the government over there has put videos about destroying America with a nuclear weapon and all these things. We have a lot of enemies in the world. Well, as long as it's on the outside, as long as it's over there, we can handle that as long as we have unity. But when it is here among us, it is a very, very dangerous thing. And that doesn't matter if it comes through the influence of radical Islam or if it's on a college campus under the banner of radical liberalism or atheism or freedom from religion, or if it comes out of our government under the banner of socialism, environmentalism, political correctness, globalism. I don't like to hear our leaders talk about being a global citizen if they're not going to talk about being an American citizen. I'm concerned about being an American citizen before being a global citizen. But all these things waters down and does harm to the unity of our country. I did a little research on what makes a person an American. And if you interviewed people or people wrote about that, it always came to the point of what was special about America or why somebody loved America. And a lot of people said a lot of things about why they loved America, or a lot of immigrants, why they came to America and wanted to naturalize and become a citizen. And then I read a lot of papers that had been written in elementary schools and been sent in from all over this country. And the top two or three things that most people talked about, by far, people would say, what I love about America is, and they always associate it with freedom, that we are free. And so we thank the Lord for that today, that we can come together in a mall, in a public place, and have a Memorial Day service, and different people of different faiths and from different places can come together and say, you know, we love America because we're free. We're free to do this. And then they talked about freedom of speech and freedom of religion and freedom of the press and freedom to vote. And all these things are what makes America not like the other nations in the world. And then the other thing that was mentioned was prosperity, that we lacked, that America's a better place to live in than anywhere in the world. The Lord has blessed us and made us prosperous. So we just had Memorial Day. I hope you had a good Memorial Day weekend. Flag Day is coming up on June the 14th. Independence Day coming up on July the 4th. So we begin to think today about Americanism, and we're going to bring some other things in along those lines. Psalms 33 and 12 said, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Well, we thank you for listening in today, and we hope you have a great day. Noah's going to give the contact information. God bless you is our prayer.
This has been Blessings of Liberty, brought to you by Pastor Wayne Greer, the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. It's located in Vilas, North Carolina. If you'd like to contact us, our church phone number is 828-963-4596. That's 828-963-4596. Or you can reach us through our church website at mountlebanonbc.org. That's MTLEBANONBC.org.